Thank you very much. Nice to be here. Lovely to be on the receiving end of a blessing. And so, the topic that I'd like to address today is compassion in and through music and song. Let's start with a question. What is music? And give you a couple of perspectives on that. We all know what it is, right? Music is what you hear when you listen to it. Well, that's one definition. There's an old medieval definition that suggests that, as the Latin phrase was, musica dicitur a mois quod est aqua. It's an ancient Egyptian word for water that seems to be at the root of both the word music and, surprisingly, for those of us in biblical studies, the name Moses, which goes Moise or Moaz in French, seems to derive from that same Egyptian root for water. And in fact, Moses was drawn from the water. So what do water and music share in common? Well, what do you think? They flow, don't they? That's one. Anybody else think of what water and music? Yes. Say what? Oh, you can immerse yourself in them. That's right. That's a good point. Any others? Yes.
It's never the same the next time.
It's never the same. Okay. Movement. Yes. Okay.
Sound.
Uh-huh. Water makes a lovely sound. My goodness, I didn't know we were going to go running off. Save your remarks, because I'm sure they're all good and interesting. So that's one kind of slant on music. And another one, of course, you can get awfully scientific if you want. There's a definition that was current when I was at Yale called, it went like this: music is structured sound and structured silence in created time. Don't ask for any more, right? Vocal and instrumental music can and do coexist. Like, sometimes I talk about fiction and nonfiction in the world of books. Most of you probably don't realize, but when you walk into a well-organized music library, the music scores actually are hierarchically divided between anything going up to about M. The M stands for music. This is in the Library of Congress system. Everything going up to about the number M1500 is instrumental music, and then everything above M1500 is vocal music. And the system that the Library of Congress developed is that, like, the 100s and the low numbers are solo music, the M200s are duets, the M300s are trios, right? So what would an M600s be? Sextets. Oh, okay. And you thought that texting sex was new. No. Okay, well, vocal music must be easier to associate with meanings and concepts, or maybe, in fact, concepts like compassion, because vocal music at least has words, you know. I had a hard time. I've been meditating on this topic for weeks, as you can imagine, trying to pull it together in my own mind, and it's kind of an amorphous thing. It's almost as bad as spirituality, music. Anyway, crossover settings, where a piece starts out instrumental and later becomes vocal, are not uncommon. Here's a famous example. I'm going to see if I can bring up my iPad now. And this is Samuel Barber's Adagio for Strings, Opus 11. idea. Now, I'm going to take you someplace else, which is the same piece, set for choir. Agnus Dei is set to the thank you. I should have said, breathe deeply. Go into an alpha state when you listen to this music. Another hauntingly beautiful choral favorite that expresses our compassion, our good wishes, in this case for those who have gone before us into the afterlife, is Gabriel Fauré's In Paradisum from his Requiem, late 19th century piece. It's in Latin and English here, and I think you'll resonate to this too. It's only 3 minutes. Love that music. Well, several things to notice about vocal music. One of them, there was the last few words of that antiphon were repeated in the music. You wouldn't necessarily repeat words if you're delivering them as spoken words, but music sometimes gives us a little bit of license to interpret by repetition or make a few changes here and there. This happens in vocal music for effect always. Words have stresses and music has rhythm, and the songwriter's job, of course, is to reconcile them under an umbrella of some kind of coherent melody. There's a centuries-old continuum that we've become aware of, the one that goes from recitative to aria in opera. It still exists today. In some songs, the words are dominant. In other words, the words and the rhythm of the words are dominant. And I give you an example that would be a Gregorian chant. The words are all important. And the pulsing of the song is to the pulsing of the rhythm of the words. While in others, the music is dominant, and the words simply have to fit the music. So any of the, for example, songs that people dance to, the Great American Songbook, the George Gershwin, I Got Rhythm, I Got Music, you know, all of these songs that have a steady beat, you've got to take the words and fit them in, or it just doesn't work. And an extreme example of the say metrical musical rhythms forcing words into that mold is rap music today. That's so extreme that they don't even use melody. They call it music, but I'm not sure. I'm sure it is actually. I did in my in the email that went out, we suggest that you all become aware of how often Karen Armstrong stresses the golden rule as the ethical principle that undergirds compassion. It's something that has been on my mind for a while, and I'd like to raise it up in song. I don't want to do the whole thing necessarily because of time, but let's see. It's on your blue sheet if you need that, but if you listen to the audio or the video to catch it here again, either. Okay. Start off my other persona. Okay, one and a two and a three. The message is the same, though the words we speak may differ. The message is the same, take a walk in others' shoes. See yourself in others' faces, just imagine trading places. The golden rule's the same, the whole world. Confucius put it this way, it's what you shouldn't do. Do not do to others anything that's, if it's done to you, would be hurtful or be harmful, or would break your heart in two. The same is said by Jews and Hindus and by Muslims too. Shalom. The message is the same, though the words we speak may differ. The message is the same, take a walk in others' shoes. See yourself in others' faces, just imagine trading places. The golden rule's the same, the whole world through. Good for you. Well, as Martin Luther King said, I have a dream, and my dream is that this song can perpetuate itself as a children's song all over the world, in all languages. And if kids grow up with a message in music, they never forget it. That's one of the things about music. It's the glue that sets words. So if we can give them words that are really important, really, really important, I think, and music that is, you know, something that is fun, I think it could be a winning combination. I don't know how to get this out there. It's on YouTube. That's a start, you know. So but that's where I am with that. I want to point out too this, that line from the refrain, see yourself in others' faces. If you turn to page 166 of the Armstrong book, you'll find that phrase, that sentence. Let us consider the moment of recognition when Christina looked into the child's face. She saw herself. she realized that there was no us and them. At the end of the day, they are the same. There's another really perplexing and insightful line that comes in that chapter, and that's, can there be compassion? Well, no, wait a second. Let me see. Did I get that right? Let me go back just one. Okay. Well, that's it. I'm going to go on. Can there be compassion? This is a question in purely instrumental music. The title of a piece can help us to guide our imagery. The tempo, usually slow, helps us adjust to the emotional tone of the piece. The instrumentation can talk to the listener, which is, of course, sometimes it does. And I want to give you a remarkable example of this. It's the Charles Ives Unanswered Question of 1908, which he revised in 1935. And it's an instrumental dialogue between a solo trumpet and a wind quartet, and somewhere off stage or behind is a string orchestra playing a 13-bar phrase in a very, very slow and subdued manner. And the trumpet is the one that asks the question, and he asks it 7 times. And you'll hear that each time he asks the question, the wind instruments look at him like he's crazy, and then they begin to mock him. And finally, they give up, and he ends up with the last statement of the question. He ends up not getting it answered. So if you ever had something you wondered about and you still don't have the answer, this music is for you. The question, by the way, is atonal. Yeah, I said that the trumpet part was atonal in the sense that it did not fit the tonality of the piece, and its intervals did not suggest a key. So part of the symbolism of this is, of course, that it shows us not only, it holds up an aspect. You see, this is the problem, is that with compassion, sometimes art, the arts, want to hold up a mirror to us of what something isn't as well as what something is. I mean, if we didn't have the ability to portray things not working out, we wouldn't appreciate things working out. And this is an example of something not working out. This trumpeter just doesn't fit, you see. And his question is still unanswered. And the other people don't. This is like Jesus just not fitting in. I mean, you wouldn't have, you know, we wouldn't have a compassionate feeling for that if everything was smooth. So don't expect the arts necessarily to be smooth and handy dandy and pleasant. I have another example, if we get to it at the end. It's a setting by Franz Schubert of a song, just two stanzas. It's called Death and the Maiden. And the death comes along, well, you'll see, posing as compassion. I mean, you know, this is, we live in a world with this full of these complexities. It's extremely interesting, I think. So here we are looking at the Golden Rule, and as Armstrong says on page 168, it requires us to use our afflictions sometimes to make a difference in the lives of others. And I think any of us who have lived a while realize that sometimes we have these little gifts. We're born with these little gifts, and boy, do they hollow out our cup of compassion, huh? Yeah. Here is just a song that Anne suggested, actually. I like this, too. This is a song that, well, it's emotional response to the crucifixion. And I like this song also because, like, it has the liberty of being nonverbal as well as verbal. In that line that says, oh, oh, oh. You know, that's not a word that really fits. It's more like an emotional outburst. So, why don't you sing along with me? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, That's a beautiful Michelangelo, isn't it?
Deposition.
Compassion for all creation is another theme that I love. It's important. I'd like you to hear this. This is a movement from the Missa Gaia by Paul Winter. And it accompanies the St. Francis procession when all the animals come to church. It happens to be the big church, St. John the Divine in New York. And this is music post-1950, which some of you may remember was when the idea of high fidelity came in. And from the 50s forward, we've been able to incorporate live sounds of nature, if we wish, into music. And this is a neat example of that. Let's see. get the idea, don't you? Wonderful, isn't it? Just and of course, here's another one which it's got compassion written all over it. When tears are in your eyes, I will dry them. I'm on your side when times get rough and friends just can't be found. When you're down and out and on the streets, I will comfort you. I'll take your part. You know, this is an important message. Let's see what we can do to recall 1970 now. Sing in church. It's the 23rd Psalm in a beautiful setting by Marty Haugen. Shepherd me, O God.
Shepherd me, O God, beyond my want, beyond my fear, from death into life. God is my shepherd, nothing shall I want. I rest in the meadows of faithfulness and love. I walk by the quiet waters of peace. Shepherd me, O God, beyond my want, beyond my fear, from death pathways of righteousness and truth. My spirit shall sing the music of your name. Shepherd me, O God, beyond my want, beyond my fear, from death into life. Though I should wander the valley of death, I fear no evil, for you are at my side, your rod and your staff, my comfort and my home. Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fear, from death into life.
Thank you. It's lunchtime or break time.